Good morning. Romans 5. Please turn to Romans 5. How y'all doing this morning? Good. This morning's lesson is going to be a little deep. So I thought I'd start off with a little levity. But we're going to get pretty deep pretty quick. So stay with me. Romans 5, verse 3. The Bible says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given us. Suffering produces. There's no getting around it. Though we don't like to think about pain, it has a purpose. Pain has a purpose. It doesn't just happen in your life. God is trying to do something through what you're going through. You know, that's not a natural way for us to think, right? When we're going through pain, it's not like, oh, joy. God is training me in something. So that means that you need to deliberately change the way you think about pain. We need to train our minds when we're going through suffering. I don't know about you, but I love the kingdom of God. We are blessed to be a part of the kingdom, but I want to warn you about something. Just because we are part of the kingdom of God, that does not negate us from pain. God does not have a special category for us when it comes to suffering. When you look at the scriptures, Jesus being the main person, if you will, his life was full of suffering. When you look at all the apostles, 11 of the 12 were martyred. Suffering, pain. Paul wrote a lot about suffering. He had a lot to say about it. You know, that's not something we like to talk about, is it? We don't like to talk about pain. We don't like to talk about that it actually has a purpose for our life. But this morning, I want us to really think about some things. You know, being in the kingdom is awesome. You have a lot of friends, right? And if you've been around, I've been around almost 20 years, and if you've lived in several places, you got a lot of friends, a lot of brothers and sisters. And I don't know about you, I think I might know, but it's hard enough to keep in touch with the people right around me, let alone all the friends that I have around. It's challenging. Thank God for social media. We can look at our phones and figure out what people are doing, how they're doing. You know, Facebook and all that other kind of stuff. That's the only one I subscribe to. I am not tweeting. I am not Insta nothing. I ain't got time for that. I am lucky I'm even on Facebook, and me and my wife share that. The other day I was noticing when I was looking at our Facebook page that a lot of people that I consider close and that I love are going through a lot right now. There's a couple of things. My cousin's son had surgery last week. My grandmother's sister passed away. A sister from the Tampa Bay church was in the hospital unexpectedly. And we all know about the passing of Taylor Sessions. You know, if I polled all of you this morning, we could all talk about some pain that we're experiencing or a lot of people in our lives are experiencing. These are just a few examples that are going on in our life. You know, the truth is that sometimes life hurts. You know, a famous saying that I say to my kids, and they hate it every single time, that it's not always going to be cake and ice cream. Especially when I'm disciplining them, that I am not going to give them cake and ice cream as I'm helping them out. You know what I'm saying? Our life is not going to be full of cake and ice cream. This morning, the title of my sermon is God's Purpose for Pain. That is the right response, honestly. When Mark asked me, hey, what's the title of your sermon? And I told him, I had to explain it to him 3 or 4 times. And then he said, I said, yeah, is the right response when it comes to pain. It's not something we jump into that we want, but God has a purpose for our suffering. I believe that God has a plan to use the pain in our lives to teach us several lessons. And these lessons could not be learned by any other way. You could buy a book, you could watch the movie, but unless you physically go through the stuff I'm talking about, you will not learn the lesson in the same way. God loves us too much to allow us to be comfortable in our own lives. And we can take the time and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Or we can learn the lessons that he's trying to teach us. I have 3 points. My first point is pain leads to unity. Pain leads to unity. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's read 12 through 14. This is a passage that we're all familiar with. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Drop down to verse 26. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We make up the body of Christ, and we experience both pain and joy with one another. Verse 26 teaches us that when one part suffers, all the other parts suffer as well. You know, we don't like to think about this, but pain unifies us. You know, in the last few months, we've lost 2 sisters, Irma Linda Walker and Karen Page. And as was already said, yesterday was Karen's memorial service. And like I said, I love the kingdom of God because in both memorials, in both situations, I witnessed the kingdom of God come alive to serve. People were there, they dropped things, they served, they cooked, they lifted tables, they sang, so many things. If we didn't have a memorial service, where would be the opportunity to be unified? Now, yeah, can we meet on Sundays? Yeah, we do that. Yeah, can we get together and read together? Absolutely. But there's something different when you're all crying at the same time. There's something different when you all ache in the same way. It brings unity. At the memorial service yesterday, I was kind of sitting in the back and I was just observing. And, you know, it was amazing to see how much, and which is obvious, of how much the family loves her. But I was also looking in the eyes of the church. There was a lot of pain in the room. Though we know, because she was a Christian, she is with Jesus right now. Amen? Yeah. So just like the scripture says, we will be unified in pain, but we will also be unified in rejoicing. But that's not what this sermon's about. I want to talk about pain. You know why? Because pain has been in our life a lot lately, hasn't it been? And I felt, and I was praying to God, I said, God, what do you need your children to hear? Then I started looking through Facebook and I said, man, his children need to be taught that pain has a purpose. So often when we go through pain, we want to push back or push away from God instead of learning to depend on him. I'm jumping ahead. That's my third point, but that's all right. It all kind of blends together. You know, it was so cool to watch people serve. It's always cool to see the kingdom of God come alive. And the kingdom of God, to me, is in its best position when people are suffering. Think about when people are studying the Bible. Yeah, they're happy that they're studying, but man, remember when you studied the Bible? Then we had to peel a couple of layers back. I had to peel bags of onions. Forget about layers of onions when I was going through mine. And guess what? It was painful. I got to see who I really was deep down inside. My deep dirty that no one knew about. The kingdom of God does a great job when it comes to that. Because we hopefully let the scriptures do the talking. And we bring them to Jesus. But pain unifies us. Some of the people I'm closest to are the ones who study the Bible with me or whom I've studied the Bible with. Those relationships will be forever. It's those kind of relationships, Noah, that when I don't see you for a long time, but when I see you, it's like, wow, I remember him. I remember being in his studies. Where's David? David's in here too. I saw David. There he is. Hey. There's just a oh man, it's awesome. When we see each other at conferences or a random text, sometimes Noah just randomly texts me telling me, man, I love you and thank you for pouring into my life. Man, that's a kiss from heaven. But it's the pain that unified us. Because I understood the pain he was going through because I've been through it too. And then we got to rejoice together when he was no longer in that pain. Pain unifies strangers as well. Remember 9/11? Yeah. Pain unified the whole world. You know, I was in New York at the time. Strangers were meeting together, trying to cross bridges. I received a call from a brother that led the Spanish ministry because, you know, me and my wife were together. And the brother was like, bro, can you meet these guys at this place? They want you to lead them across the bridge. I was like, me? I don't even know how I'm going to get home. Pain unifies us. They were looking for someone, anybody, to say, hey, which way should we go? If it wasn't for that opportunity, we wouldn't be pulled together. The Boston Marathon bombing. You even had New Yorkers wearing I Love Boston hats. If you're not familiar, that's not normal. We don't do that. We don't like Boston, and Boston don't like us. It's a baseball thing. That's really all it's about. And I could care less about baseball, so it's okay. I like Boston people. They're good. But the Boston Marathon bombing, Boston Marathon bombing unified us. When that happened, people that were not hurt flocked to those who were hurt, not even worrying if there was a second bomb. Not even worrying, would they catch something from the blood? Not worrying about their own personal safety. Why? Because pain unifies us. We need to remember that. We need to thank God that God loves us so much that he's not willing to allow us to escape the pain. My second point is that pain leads to obedience. Pain leads to obedience. Look over in Luke 16. Luke 16, starting at verse 19. This is a parable that Jesus said. In verse 19, it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came for when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torments, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm. A great chasm has been put into place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross from there to here. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will also come to this so they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Very deep, huh? We're talking about a lot of pain here. This is the first time I kind of ever really thought about this. Maybe you've done it. But have you ever wondered why Lazarus was a beggar? Have you ever been in Atlanta and saw a homeless person? Yeah, me too. In New York, I mean, it's abundant. Have you ever stopped to think why they're in that position? Did he lose everything because of failed health? Did he not have things because people robbed him? Was he a beggar because of a mental condition? You know, a lot of times when we see someone who's a beggar, homeless, or whatever you would like to label them, first they're a person. And they have a situation. And their sign usually doesn't tell you their situation, but their condition shows you they're in something called pain. Did he lose everything because of sin in his life? Now, whether that was the case or not, I want you to remember where he was and where the rich man was. Pain teaches us obedience. Sometimes the pain we feel is because of the consequences of our actions. We cannot, nor should not, blame God when we're going through consequences because of things we've done. That is the natural order of things. It's called cause and effect. God sometimes allows pain in our life to teach us obedience in Him. You know, when you look at the rich man, obviously he was not a righteous man. How can you tell? Because he was in Hades. Hades is the place before you go to eternal torment. And what was happening to him there? He was in torment. We don't like to talk about that, do we? We don't like to talk about hell. We don't like to talk about that there are consequences for how we live on this earth. But I love you too much not to talk about that this morning. Pain teaches us obedience. If only he had learned obedience when he was still alive. If only he had learned through the stuff that was going on in his own life. Though he was rich, things were going on, I'm sure. God was trying to catch his attention. God is trying to catch our attention too. Are you learning obedience to the pain of the consequences in your life? Now, is that the only source of where pain comes from? No. But that one, God got a lesson for you in that one. Just the same way that you do not spare the rod for your child. Or if you do, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. Because that rod is ordained by God. God calls us to do it. And we must do it if our children have a chance. Now, does that mean our children will all make it? Shake your head and say no, because it's not guaranteed. But you're giving them a better chance. And God deems that pain for their benefit. Do you spank your child in anger? I hope not. Do you give the rod to your child to destroy them? No. As I heard a young voice say, no. No. I know why the rod comes to me. Do you know why the rod sometimes comes to you? I bet you do. We need to learn from the children. Because sometimes when we're experiencing the paddling of God, we shake our fists at him and say, how dare you allow this into my life? I have served you. I have given up everything for you. Why would you allow me to go through this? If he loved Jesus, whom was his very son, and allowed him to go through all the suffering that he did in his life, why should we be spared? God uses pain to teach us obedience. You know, sometimes the consequences of sin, those are not washed away in the waters of baptism. But guess what is? The futility of our thinking. We must think about things in a different way. We aren't living in natural bodies, but our minds are supposed to be transformed and think about things in a different way. You cannot react the way your coworkers react. You can't react the way your neighbors react. You can't even react how your family acts. You are called to be different. So when pain comes into your life, stop. Say, how interesting. Thank you, Don Burroughs. And then you deal with it and figure out, okay, God, what is your purpose for this pain? God loves us so much, and he will allow pain to change us. But it won't break us. The Bible clearly says that he will not allow us to go through more than we can bear. Even though you might think, God, I can't handle it, he says, yes, you can. I wouldn't give it to you if you couldn't. I'm your father who loves you. That would be unfair, and I am perfect. But we don't think about that naturally. We don't even like talking about pain. We get a hint of a headache, we want to take ibuprofen. We don't like pain. Pain is not fun. My third and final point is pain leads to dependence on God. This point is so good, I'm going to say it again. Pain leads to dependence on God. Turn over to Romans 8. Let's go. Come on. The Super Bowl's later, y'all. We ain't got a dog in that fight. I don't care who's playing. The Giants ain't in it. Whatever. Atlanta ain't in it either, so you guys shouldn't care either. We here. We talking about pain this morning. Somebody going to feel pain later, aren't they? Somebody going to feel pain. Romans 8:18. Paul says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Let's read it again. I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Let's drop down to verse 28. We should have this verse memorized. And we know that in all things, he said all things, that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, and that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we respond to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, for we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor the powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here we have our hope. Once we are face to face with God, once we are brought to the glory with Jesus himself, all the pain we've ever experienced will not compare to what God has prepared for us. This is a promise that we must focus on. You know, I don't know every time why I'm going through what I'm going through. Stuff just happened. I've been having headaches for about a month now. I don't know if it's stress. I got a little going on too. It could be a sinus infection. I don't know. But all I know is God is trying to teach me something through it. Maybe I should take ibuprofen every once in a while. I don't like taking medicines. My wife said, did you take anything? No, I didn't take nothing. I'm a man. Grunt, grunt. I don't need to take nothing. I'll just man it up. That don't work right all the time. It don't work right all the time. When I'm in pain, I must remember that God brings comfort and hope. In verse 18, Paul considered his present suffering. Now, I don't have time to go into all of Paul's suffering. It's a very long list, and I dare say many of us have not experienced what he experienced. But he himself said that his present suffering could not compare to the glory which will be revealed later. So let me ask y'all a question. What are you living for? What are you about? What do you allow your head to get wrapped around? The temporary suffering or the glory that will be revealed later? I choose to think about the glory. Why? Because it's more fun. It's more fun. It's more, excuse me, it's more encouraging. It allows me not to be caught up in a fetal position in a corner crying about my current situation. That ain't going to help nobody. You ain't going to meet the people in Gwinnett County that need to be disciples if you're just stuck in a corner, sucking on your thumb, crying about your situation. We must become more mature. We must, as disciples of Jesus, remember that God has a purpose for the pain we're going through. We must depend on him. Verse 28. I beat this scripture to death. This has been my scripture for the last 6-7 months, man. I love this scripture. And the thing I always learn is that in all things means all things. I cannot make a different category for all things. All means everything. I can't define it differently. So my pain is meant for me to grow. I can't say, no. That's not right, God. He's like, really? Explain to me, oh wise one. Some of us do that. Don't laugh too quick. You might laugh because you got a little uncomfortable there. Now, God wants to hear our prayers, amen? God wants to hear you real and where you're at. He's a big boy, the biggest of the boys, and he can accept the truth. You can tell him, I feel this is unfair, and he won't pout. He won't tell you to shut up. He won't tell you, I'm your father, go sit down and time out. He's a better father than I. When my children speak to me out of their frustration, I also can get frustrated. And I could pull out that father card pretty quick and say, you are speaking to me disrespectfully. Go sit down and go figure yourself out. But God's not like that with us. That's why God is both to me mother and father. Because my wife, she'll try to ignore all that stuff. And she wants to get to the heart. She wants to figure out what's going on so I could help. Me, I'm like, hey, you've disrespected the office. How dare you? You shall not pass, you know? It's like, you ain't going to do that to me. We going? Let's go. And that's not God with us. Imagine the last time you went to God with your real emotions. I'm not talking about your Sunday morning prayer. That thing you say all the time, God, thank you for my bread, thank you for this, thank you for that. I'm talking about when you have a conversation with your God. And you're going through stuff that just don't flat out make sense in the flesh. God is okay with that. But at the end of the day, if you're not depending on him, you won't go to the next level. You won't learn the lesson. God's pain that he allows is trying to teach us a lesson. If we don't realize we need to depend on him, we're just going to get stuck in the pain. He doesn't want that for us. Verse 31. What shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Are you living like this? This is not a slogan. This is not a bumper sticker. This needs to be the way we live. So when we're going through this, when you got your haters, when you got people trying to hurt you, you have to remember that if you're with God and depend on him, what can they do to you? And then you start walking with your little swagger. And then you look at them and like, what? You know who my daddy is? What? What you going to do? That ain't a New York thing. That's a disciple thing, baby. You just got to know who's got you. If you don't know that God got you, you are going to walk around like, oh, they took my, you know, they took my ice cream again. Or they took, you know, they ate the last bit of the Cocoa Puffs again. Oh, Lord. Life is horrible. I'm in such pain. If you compare the pain level that where you're at and start getting into some Bible studies and start realizing the pain people are going through on a daily basis all around us, you might realize you're in a lot less pain than you actually perceive. And, okay, first of all, I am not downplaying anybody's pain. You heard me? Pain is a very real and personal thing, isn't it? When we're going through it, it's like, you know, like Don Burroughs said last week, stop it! Stop feeling like that! That's unreal expectation. What I'm saying is to go into your scriptures and do a study like this and realize that there is a purpose for the pain that is valuable information. It's not just random. And then you could take that and say, okay, if I depend on God, he will take care of me. You know, one thing that I share with my children and I share with a lot of people is pain will either make you better or bitter. It's going to do one or the other. Right, teens? Right, Brianna and Kaju? Stop talking. Okay, good. You didn't think I'd ever do it. I did it. All right, good. We're back. Hi. Pain will either make you better or bitter. Which do you think is the goal for God in your life? Hello? Right? The children get it right very quickly because their hearts are pure and humble too. Their hearts are pure and they get it very quickly. But for us, we got to think about that, don't we? Well, what is his purpose for this? This doesn't feel good, so obviously he doesn't want me to feel good. No. We need to mature in our thinking. Verse 37 says that we are more than conquerors through him. A lot of times we want it to be through us, through my strength, through me manning up through this. You're going to see how I handle this. God's like, really? And when you fall, I'm still here to pick you up. Humility, remembering that God is God and we need to depend on him. I'm going to skip a scripture because of time. Look over in 2 Corinthians 4. It's killing me to skip the scripture, so write it down. Revelations 21, 1 through 5. This talks about what heaven's going to be like. I think that should encourage us to remember that pain is trying to get us there through unity and dependence on God. But 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If you get nothing else from this morning, I want you to get this scripture. This is where it is. Amen. It far outweighs them all. It says in verse 18 that we need to fix our eyes. It is not natural. What is natural is for us to fix our eyes on pleasure to get away from the pain. How has that worked out for you in your life? That got you to the place where, man, you were just like, oh, Lord, I need help. If you're a disciple, we could go right back to that place, can't we? We just switch it from things that don't look so sinful. That's a whole nother day. Yeah, it is. Man, we need to depend on God. We need to look at life this way. The momentary troubles that we're going through are achieving for us eternal glory. God does have a purpose through the pain that we're feeling. It teaches us unity with God and one another. If pain is caused by sin, it teaches us obedience. And lastly, it teaches us to become dependent on him. Once we realize these biblical truths, we will begin to understand that God truly does have a purpose for our pain. God bless.
Let's bow our heart in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, truly we are honored, Father, to be here, dear Lord. We are humbled before you because of your mercy and your grace, dear Lord. Father, truly, we've heard a lot of things today from the class this morning, Father, just how confident and how sure we are of the hope we have in you. Jesus Christ, through the prophecies that no one can refute, Father, our faith in you, dear Lord. Thank you so much for that confidence that we can walk, not just to brag or anything, but because we have such great hope in you. Father, thank you so much, Father, that we have a home in heaven. That song truly brings so much fear, so much attention in our head, dear Lord, of what it's going to be, Father. But it also awakens us, while we're still here, dear Lord, we have a chance to have a home in heaven, dear Lord. Father, I pray as we leave today, Father, we'll remember all the pains that we've gone through these past months, this past year, these past weeks, these past days, these very hours, that we don't know what we have. But Father, you said, Father, in Acts, Father, 17, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.